Talkback Time with Smithy. Call now 0800 150 811.
It is 9:33 here on SENZ. We've got a couple of calls on the board already. 0800 150 811, whatever your subject is. And it could be, are you worried about Australia cutting ties with us at Super Rugby level and just going it alone? Who do you think it's going to hurt? Who do you think it's going to benefit? Love to hear your thoughts on that. On the back of Hamish McLennan, their chairman, diving in and saying we are not good partners. We are not good partners, not good people to deal with, and we can do without you. And Phil Kearns, of course, who's long been an advocate of anything that New Zealand is going on, he hates, is right on his heels, snapping away as well. So, Neville's called in this morning. G'day, Neville. How's things down in Dunedin?
Pretty fine. We've got a lovely day, believe it or not. Just a throwaway line on the rugby, they'd be nuts to, pull out of the super thing. It wouldn't be the same without the Aussie. But anyway, look, I was just wanting to talk a wee bit about the golf, with the Live Golf Tour, and the latest news, of course, is Brooks Koepka is going to move to the Live Golf Series. I wrote a story on it on the 18th, and the ones who we might see on their release this week when they tell us who's going could well include Morikawa, Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele. The other one who's been sort of rumoured for a week is Ricky Fowler. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens if they do get, these big names moving as well. Something's going to have to move. I really think the PGA Tour have got it wrong. I know it's all very well to say you've got rules, but I think dialogue might have been a better way to go when this thing was starting to rear its ugly head and look at it and say, hey, there might be room for this format in our season. It's a bit like cricket with its one day and its 2020. If they could fit it into the program over a whole year, you won't have all this horrible them and us thing, which seems to be what's happening now. I don't know what you think.
Neville, I can tell you what I think. I'm a bit of a conventional sort of a guy, to be honest. One of the things I really like about the PGA and the golf, etc., are the majors. They're a real highlight, plus the Players' Championship. So, Neville, you're looking at five really tournaments of real focus that I tend to take notice of. And the question is, of course, eligibility for those particular events. So, we saw the atmosphere at the Canadian Open. That's a PGA-governed event. We saw the atmosphere, the goings-on, the drama, etc., at the US Open, which is a US Golf Association-administered event. So two different bodies there. So we can see that golf is alive and well in America as such. I'm with you. I will also say, Neville, I was pretty much anti the IPL when it started because I thought it would take players away from the game, detract from the more conventional styles of cricket. But they found a window, and they found a window out of pressure. And that was Indian money, and the ICC simply had to bow down and say, yep, there is scope, you can play that tournament, the players can get their big money, and we can move on, hopefully with a much more condensed season, but we can still move on and apply our trade to the more traditional forms of the game. So, I was a bit of that. And I'm a little bit now, Neville, thinking that this is the way. And I think you might have spotted a good thing here. Finding an abbreviated window within the tours where everyone can take part for their big jackpot bonus money, I think is a real possibility. And if you, as you say, those names continue to go. Now, we're talking about major winners there. Terrific golfers, and young golfers, not just old ones, Neville. They're young golfers who are still a long way away from anything like, you know, the hallowed years of their careers as such. They're just developing as players. If they lose those, surely on a daily basis, Neville, they must be sitting up and taking notice and getting worried. If they're not, they're stupid, aren't they?
Well, I would say that's dead right. The young guy in Aussie, he's only, he won a recent big event. Jed Morgan, I think his name was. He's only about 22, and he made the decision, and he gave his reason. I just think Jay Monahan has got to come down off his high horse. I'll tell you another good thing, that, you know, how they're talking about this dirty money. The CEO of Live Golf responded and says, well, hang on, how is it 23 of your sponsors on the PGA Tour do $43 billion worth of business with the Saudis? And the moral high ground is very difficult to dig your heels in on, unfortunately. But I must do, I just look at this as T20. And so why not let us fit it in? And then everyone's going to be happy. Instead of we've got players slagging off other players, and just not looking for the game. And as you say, the majors are supposed to be sensational to watch. You know, watching them come down the 18th, and you don't know who's going to win. I mean, you can't beat it. If you've got a whole field all finishing at the same time, well, where the hell's the excitement?
Yeah, I mean, you'd love to talk to one of those high-profile golfers, you know. I mean, Tiger Woods is an exception because, you know, he's got so much money, he doesn't have to make decisions like that these days, and a lot of these guys have. I mean, you know, the bulk of those guys that win on that tour or finish in the top 10, 15 in any one year are pretty much set up for life, to be honest, except they have a different lifestyle than we're used to over there. So, you know, their boats aren't dinghies, if you know what I mean. They operate in a different space. So to maintain that kind of lifestyle, I suppose they have to earn at a very, very high rate. But, you know, you only have to in this particular tour. And that's the other thing that's going to happen here. Are they going to continue to be three-round events, the LIV ones? Are they going to continue to restrict the field? Because what you can clearly see happening here is when people like Schauffele go, when people like Morikawa, etc., Koepka, add their names to the list, Hovland, that's it. That's bumping four or five players out the backside of it. You know, the four or five or six young guys that were in it last week won't be in it this next time around because these blokes are coming and they're much more attractive to the Saudi market as such. So it's going to impact, and it's only going to be, you know, the Robin Hood theory. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. So I don't quite know how you take from the rich and give to the poor once all the rich start to play in that league. Simple as that. Neville, thank you very much for your call this morning. Very, very opinionated on golf, very informed on golf. I love chatting to you about that. Zaid, good morning to you.
Good morning. So we've had these big stories coming out this week. I think was it Monday we had the swimming, and then now yesterday we had the rugby league. I'm talking about the transgenders. So is it going to come to a thing where we're just going to have competitions for transgenders, competition for women, and competition for males? Obviously, because, well, you can't have, as we know, we're guys, obviously. You can't go from a guy to a woman because you've got more muscles, you've got more bone density. Obviously, it's a lot harder. I know we've had, like, obviously, athletes in the last few years, such as Custer Semenya, and then last year we had Laurel Hubbard also in the weightlifting, and they do obviously have an advantage because they've grown up most of their life having being a man, and then now they want to change to a female. I mean, so they've grown up most of their life, yeah, as a man and wanting to change to a female. I'm fine with, like, if you're not comfortable within your skin, but you just can't compete with females if you've been a male before because, yeah, you're just way stronger than all the other females. So it's clearly not a fair game because you've got an advantage. And on the cricket, it's real good to see Michael Rippon as a wrist spinner. Also, another real good wrist spinner I've seen, he's probably best in the world right now, is Rashid Khan, isn't it?
Well, Rashid Khan is a right arm leg spinner as such, and they're a lot more common, Zaid, as you well know, than left arm wrist spinners. Left arm wrist spinners are very, very rare, and to be able to master that art is a real feather in your cap, actually. So for us to have that that available to us, I'm going to be really interested to see how well Michael Rippon plays on this tour and how often they actually do give him opportunities to play. I think he should pretty much play every game. I mean, you know, you don't develop those sorts of things without exposure at the highest level. And the highest level he will be playing at the moment is against Associate Nations. That's the highest level he has been playing, because he was playing for an Associate Nation in the Netherlands. So it's only going to be good if we see him bowl it a lot, Zaid. That's the thing. On your other point, it's a very interesting one, actually. And we went through this, didn't we? I remember when we first started the show in July last year, it was the hottest topic. Laurel Hubbard's participation at the Olympic Games was the hottest topic. As it came to pass, Laurel Hubbard did participate. Laurel Hubbard failed miserably. And I won't say it died a natural death because it was there was all those things simmering around. But it is obvious that, you know, you get people like Lord Sebastian Coe coming out. I mean, he's highly regarded around the world in athletics, et cetera, just saying it's just not an even playing field. It just simply isn't. And they don't know enough about testosterone yet and the levels, et cetera, yet to be definitive about it. But it just seems to me, Zaid, you know, they're going to actually, until we become more informed about it or more acceptive of it, they're going to be left out in the cold, transgender athletes, because there simply isn't enough of them. You know, when it comes to big team sports, et cetera, you know, there isn't enough, I would have thought, to form too many teams to have a viable competition as such, you know. No, you know, it's a curly one, as you say, Zaid. Thank you very much for your call, and to Neville as well this morning for taking the time to call to it. From Auckland, John, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Smithy. Hope the Hawke's Bay is treating you well.
Bit chilly, John, quickly. Bit chilly.
Actually, it's quite chilly up here in Auckland too. Just quickly, mate, just on this issue with Australian rugby, it's becoming a bit of a farce, isn't it? I see that he's speaking from France, the Australian representative. Is he trying to extort some more cash out of the New Zealand representatives? I'm not too sure, mate. But whether he's putting a play at hand or just trying to show his muscle, he doesn't really have much to lean on, does he? Australia's got a couple.
I think you're absolutely right, John. I mean, you know, what is the value of Australian sides that lose all the time anyway? I mean, you know, one of my things would be to say, Hamish, get some teams winning on a regular basis. Get some teams who are competitive. Get some teams who are going to threaten to win the competition. You had one this year. So, you know, in terms of the Brumbies, you had a really good, they were close, and they had they been given a penalty in the last couple of minutes against the Blues, who knows? Who knows? That final might have been in Christchurch last weekend, and they could have had a team in there. Would we be saying that now? I suppose you'd be barking up for more and more money because of that.
Well, exactly, mate. But then if you play devil's advocate and say they do go and have a break-off, I'd say Moana would stay with us. Obviously, they're based here. Fiji and Drew would probably stay with us. And then why not have a Super Rugby team out of the Hawke's Bay and another one out of Tauranga, mate?
Well, it's not within outside the realms of possibility, John, to be perfectly honest, that they could build another. If we were going to have to play internally, then I think they could almost do that. I could be thinking that they could perhaps build another franchise, call it the Bays or something of that nature, you know, Bay of Plenty, Hawke's Bay, the Bays type franchise, and do it that way, and perhaps leave the other side to the Chiefs. I totally agree with you there. I totally agree that there's a prospect for doing that kind of thing, mate. We're going to take a break. Thanks very much for your call, John.